ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، الذي سمي بالقرآن بطه وياسين والمزمل والمدثر أبي القاسم محمد. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين الروحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الدائم الأبدية على أعداء مجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر الأهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين، صلوات محمد وعلى الحمد لله. And all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has given this chance to us, to the mankind, especially of the era of his time, time of the Holy Prophet. The opportunity and the chance which we people, the nation of Holy Prophet, we got the chance because we received a complete message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only in the form of Quran Majid, Quran Samit, but we also been provided by the divine teachers and guides and role models. In the name of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So we, which these two perfect and excellent example for mankind was never been provided before the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. It is the ummah in the nation of the Holy Prophet have this chance, and Allah has enabled them that if they groom themselves by understanding the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, they can polish their hearts, they can purify their minds and show a perfect lifestyle with their actions. When we discuss these things in the month of Muharram, which is associated with Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and his progeny and his family members, his household, we see the complete men, a complete human being, a perfect human being in the form of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. A complete, absolute, perfect personality. Perfection in the eyes of whom? Perfects. Yesterday, I mentioned something that criterias could be made by ourselves as well. If our vision is narrow, that we are going to live in only these 70, 80, 100 years, and we have to achieve what we can and acquire what we can in this world, our criteria of perfection and excellence will be different. Our definition will be different. But if our vision is broadened, is vast, not limited to this world, but to the world which has no end, خَالِدُونَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. So the definition of perfection and excellence will be different. So these imams and guides like Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we find a perfect human being, a complete human being, and the heights and excellence of mankind's virtue can be found in the personality of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Who is Imam Hussain alayhi salam? You have heard more than 1,000 times this famous and very common but very important hadith from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What is that hadith? Husaynu minni wa ana min al-Husayn. Who is Muhammad? Muhammad is the perfect example of Allah's creation. And what the Holy Prophet Muhammad is saying, Husaynu minni, that the perfection and excellence which I possess, Hussain also possess the same virtues and qualities. So Hussain is not like just any other common person. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, this hadith is commonly mentioned by all schools of thought. that Hussain minni and wa ana min al Hussain. The other part of the hadith is much greater, explaining about the excellence of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, being a grandson of the Holy Prophet. Hussain minni, that Hussain is from me, the what quality I possess, my grandson also possess. Okay, it could be inheritance like any other common people. But what we can say about the other part of the hadith in which the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, in which the Holy Prophet says, "Wa ana min al Hussein," that I am from Hussein. There many explanation has been given, many interpretation has been given. I wouldn't like to explain and elaborate the hadith. I would like to just point out one of the points and give you food for thought that you can go and think about it. That the Holy Prophet is from Imam Hussain alayhi salam. That the efforts which has been made by the Holy Prophet, by 124,000 prophets, messengers and apostles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Holy Prophet is the leader of all 124,000 prophets and messengers. Imam Hussain alayhi salam saved the efforts which has been made over the centuries by all 124,000 prophets and messengers. Whatever efforts they have made, Imam Hussain alayhi salam not only saved those efforts, rather he enriched those efforts with his own blood. If there wasn't been sacrifice of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, not only the efforts of Imam Hassan, not only the efforts of Imam Ali alayhi salam, not only the efforts made by the Holy Prophet, but the efforts made by 124,000 prophets were being gone to drain. He's someone unparalleled with any other person in this world. He is the divine light and divine guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody asked, I think, from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, the meaning of, not the exact words, but the meaning of that hadith is, Imam, aren't all you have the same level and of divine leadership in the eyes of Allah? He said, yes, we have the same responsibilities and we have the same divine leadership and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then why so much importance has been given to Imam Hussain alayhi salam? Imam Hussain alayhi salam, the sixth Imam, says the position, the elevated position of Imam Hussein, because of the elevated position of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been asked to revive the sacrifices of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. To remember, can commemorate those days and the shahada of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam has a special and elevated place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not like any other common person which we can compare, unfortunately. Some people are unable to understand that how pure these imams were the creation of Allah. These imams were the servants of Allah. But the servant to servant and creation to creation, it differs. They have the absolute obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not used to work. They do not used to act. They do not used to think except what makes Allah pleased. They were pure not only in their actions, but they were pure at their thoughts. Not only in their thoughts, but also at their heart, they were pure. And that's why Quran says that we have cleaned them, that we have made them tahir. And every person cannot touch these people, that they, every person cannot understand these people unless they come with tahara, with purification. If you would like to understand Quran, if you would like to understand the personalities and teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we need to purify ourselves, our minds, our hearts, so we can be able to, it becomes unable to accept those teachings, those guidance, that those light of Quran, Quranic teachings, and the light of the teaching of Ahlul Bayt may able to reflect on the mirror of our hearts. It's not something just ritualistic, coming over here, praising them in words. Praising in words is just like a child sings rhymes in Montessori, and that's it. Praising in words is just like rhymes. That child even don't able to understand what he is saying. But when we really want to praise them, we need to follow them. We need to be obedient to those imams. My dear, we just offered our prayers in congregation in Jama'ah. There was an imam over there, and there were been ma'mumin who have been following that imam. You just suppose that if Imam was in Qiyam and that follower was in Ruku, what a person, a third person who enters into the center, into the mosque, and sees that Imam is still in Qiyam, that person is in Sijda or in Ruku, although he is standing behind Imam. Immediately, his opinion was that although that person is standing in saf behind Imam, but this person is not following Imam. He is not offering his prayers in congregation. Rather, he is offering his prayers individually. So at times we are someone who are standing apparently behind imams, but we do not follow their actions, we do not follow their teachings, we do not even bother to listen what they want to say us, what they really want to tell us. We don't even bother. We tell them what we want from you, but we don't try to even listen to them. How can we listen to them? How can we listen to Quran? By reading it. By reading Quran, we listen to Quran. We listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By going through the ahadith and the lifestyle of these imams, these divine imams, we are able to understand and listen to them that what they want from us. Don't tell imam what you want. Ask imam what they want, how they would like to see us. How they would like to see us. In one of the narrations from one of the companions of Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, he intend to visit Imam from his city to Medina. When he was coming to do the ziyarat of Imam alayhi salam, so the people in a city, they send their greetings and salams to Imam alayhi salam. So when Hazrat Jabir reached in the presence of Imam alayhi salam, he convey their salams to him by saying, "O Imam, your Shias has conveyed their salams and greetings to you." What the word he used? Shia. What we understand from Shia, that is the followers. Then Imam said, "O Jabir, don't say that those people are Shia." So Hazrat Jabir was been taken by surprise. "Imam, those people are very devoted people to you." "Yes, but don't say that those are my Shias." So Jabir was more surprised. That then he asked Imam, "If those sort of dedicated people are not your Shias, then who is your Shia? Who is your follower?" Allahu Akbar. Imam said, "Don't say those are my Shias, just say that they are my lovers, they admire me." That's it. "Don't say they are my followers, don't say they are Shias." Then the Jabir said, "Then who are your Shias?" Then Imam alayhi salam narrated a list of qualities which his follower should possess, must possess. List. I cannot narrate the whole verse, but just few of those points. Even if we are able to follow those things, number one, the foremost thing which Imam alayhi salam mentioned, Imam said, "My Shia is the one who offers 51 rakat of prayers in 24 hours in a day." I think some of us will be surprised that, "Maulana, we haven't heard about the 51 rakat of prayers." Yes, we haven't heard, because we don't go in so many details. We say, okay, 17 rakat of prayers is more than enough for us if we are able to offer it on its time. So it is more than enough. From all those salat, these prayers, from where they are coming? 51 rakat of prayers. Yes, it includes the nawafil of all the farais. All the farais. Plus, It also includes the Salatul Layl, Namaz-e-Shab. If this was the number one, what we say usually that on number one we are out. We are failed. We see, oh, where we are standing. Then Imam says, my follower is the person who recites Quran frequently. My follower is the person who fasts most of the times, most of the year. My follower is the one who pays zakat. My follower is the one who takes care of orphan. My follower is the one who look after less fortunate people. My follower is the one who listens to his or her parent. Don't smile, you parents. Just think, if your parents are still alive, or even if they are not, are you obedient to your parents? I am talking about the children of the age of 50, 60 years. Yes, because whenever we discuss about the children and parent, so the parent of the 40, 50 years, they are becomes happy. Okay, Maulana is saying something for my child. It's not from them. It is for them, but it's not only for them. It is for us of my age or elder than me. We have responsibility towards our parents. Regardless they are alive or they are no more in this world. We need to do good for them in this world if they are alive. If not, send something good for them. Give charity on their behalf. Do ziyarat on their behalf. Do hajj for them on their behalf. Give substance, food to the poor people. Made an hospital for them. Made something, school for them, something in their name which could have sila rahim between you and your parents. So my follower is the one who listened to his parents. My follower is this, my follower is that. Allahu Akbar. You know what Hazrat Jabir said after listening to the hadith? When listening all these, I say it's a criteria of being a follower. All these qualities, Jabir said, Imam, you won't find people with these qualities. Imam, you won't find people with these qualities. What could be the expected answer if there is a university in your country and they say we take only students having 95% and above. So there will be only 5 of them or 10 of them. So what they will do? They will bring down their criteria of admission. Because they need people to come in their university to pay them, to study over there, so the institute can run. So they will bring their standard down, criteria down. Imam replied to Hazrat Jabir. Imam said, oh Jabir, be careful. Satan, devil is going to deceive you. Don't be deceived by the devil. Remember, I will not bring down my level, my standard. Rather, those who like to be my followers should bring up their standard and come to my standard. If you would like to be the actual Shias and followers of Ahlul Bayt, we need to upbring and upgrade ourselves. They are not going to bring. For them doesn't matter. In Quran Allah says, what Allah says? Allah says, I have created, this is a meaning I'm just telling you. Allah said that I have created so many people, but aksaruhum, most of them will be sent into hell. Why? That is a comparatively little quantity will go into paradise. So Allah doesn't care. If we don't care for ourselves, why should Allah care about us? Allah has already provided everything. He had cared more than ourselves. He have given us guidance. He has sent 124,000 prophets and his messengers. And after the demise of the Holy Prophet, he has sent his successors to guide us, to teach us, to enlighten our heart and our minds. And again we say, oh Allah, we can't understand it. Don't you think that we are lazy to understand the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt? Or we are would like to deceive Allah? In Quran, Allah says, those who think that they're deceiving me or any mu'mineen, they are making fool of themselves. They are actually deceiving themselves. They cannot make fool of Allah. They cannot make fool of mu'mineen, that is Anbiya or A'ima alayhimus salam. They are making fool of themselves. Because in the end, they are the people who will receive the torment and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is as per the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah cannot place those people who were obedient to Allah and those who were sinful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same place, that is paradise. This is injustice. Injustice to the people who have been obedient and good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The justice of Allah says that those who have done good, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينَهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينَهُ فَأُمَّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ نَارٌ هَامِيَةٌ. وَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ. Those whose scales of good deeds are heavy, heavy, they will be in peace and tranquility on the day of judgment. فَهُوَ فِي إِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَةِ. They will be calm, peace, they will have no problem. But those whose scales of good deeds are lighter, فَأُمَّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. They will be in Haviya. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ. And what is Haviya? Quran says, what is Haviya? نَارٌ حَامِيَ. A fire, and it should be in the pit of that fire that has been thrown those people. This is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who will do good, they will receive rewards from Allah. And those who are not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah have all the right to put them into fire of hell, except the mercy of Allah reaches them. Kindly salawat rasul salawat Muhammad wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Nare Haydari. Well, the thing is that usually I have heard that on weekends you people don't mind if we have, you know, extend our programs. So if I take 1 hour 30 minutes, doesn't matter. But no, inshallah, I will finish on my time. That is within 1 hour, inshallah. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Inshallah. Jab koi hamsari kisi ki kya wajal hai, jahan mein har lihaz se Hussain bemisal hai, ye ho chuka hai faisla, na koi dusra khuda, na koi dusra Hussain hai.
Allahumma salli ala. My dear, We need to start with ourselves. Yesterday, what we discussed in the ayat which I mentioned from Surah Ra'd, that is Surah Thunder, chapter 13, verse number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. Allah will not change anything in any nation or any person until and unless they try themselves to change themselves, to bring change in within themselves. Now, how to understand that, how to make change and what changes could be made? The changes, number one, is the vision of life. What you say, world view, which I said, world view is a small word for the saying world view is the life view and the vision of life actually. So if our vision of life is correct, then number two, it comes, the vision will define the objectives. The vision will define the objectives of our lives. So whenever you make something, an organization, an institution, what you say, the vision and mission of this organization, this institute is this. When you have defined the vision, then that vision itself tells you its objectives. So your objective should be clear for yourselves, that where you would like to go ahead. And when you will decide that where you would like to you go, then you will say, okay, if you want to travel from here to like Karbala, you won't take your car with you. You will say, I will take like airplane. If you like to go to Chicago, maybe you can say, okay, I can go on my car. If you would like to go, over here it's not a very good example, but still I will get to give. It could be a good example, at least for youngsters, that if you'd like to go to the market close to your house, to buy something, you could go on cycle as well, or maybe by just on walking. So your destination will define, the objective will define the mode of transportation which you will adopt. So if we have defined that we are not only for this world, we are for hereafter. This world plus hereafter. Then, where to go? The ayat of Surah Inshiqaq, Surah number 84, and ayat number, verse number 6, which says, Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. Where should you go? What is your ultimate destination? The ultimate destination is mulaqi, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should be the main goal and objective of our lives. Then how to reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to discuss. Now before that we go, I would like to say few things which is required. Actually, I would not like to mention things directly like offer prayers and give charity, do this and do that. We need to do lots of those things. But the process we need to understand. Because we do not able to understand the process, the thought process, so at times we go astray. And we are unable to understand where the pleasure of Allah lies. Where the pleasure of Allah lies. The same questions when we were used to be kid, now we used to ask from our kids, what the questions, you like your mom or you like your dad most? It looks a very nice question, but if you go through it, you are making confused. You are provoking your own child to think that one of them is better than other, which is wrong, at least from the father's side, because the child will mostly, 99.99%, he will say, I love my mother most. So father should never ask this question until and unless he has something in his hands, like giving ice cream or candy or something. Look who the most you like. Maybe at that time the child will say, if that child is clever enough, say, okay, I love my father the most, within the brackets, when he gives me something. So we need to understand this. So it's that we need to understand, we need to think. The Quran says in chapter number 30, verse number 8, Quran says, أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ والارض وما بينهما الا بالحق. اولم يتفكروا, why don't you over here, that a translation is, why don't you consider is not the correct word actually. يتفكرون, why don't you analytically think and ponder. Tafakkur comes, the word tafakkur comes when there is more than one thought, when there is more than one ideology, when there are two different things, then you will say, this is not correct, this is correct, it should be like that. And that a person need to go through this process to understand the righteous path. If a person will not go through this process, he will be this person, same which came to Imam Ali alayhi salam. I mentioned you last night. Kindly recite Salat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. What I mentioned, just to remind you about it, a person came to Imam Ali and said, Imam Ali, when we came to you, it comes to us that you are on the right path and the haq is with you, and when we go out from here and go and sit with those other people, your opposition, and it looks to us that it is the right and haq is with them. What Imam said, why this person is confused? Because he did not use his brain. Yatafakkarun, he did not try to think, he did not try to analytically think about it and ponder on it. That's what Imam say, go to Quran, because Quran invites and provokes and encourage people to think. Yatafakkarun, and through the process of yatafakkarun, analytical thinking, a person can reach. Yes, that analytical thinking, it's tools. Just sitting and just lying on your bed, and if you expect that something extraordinary will come in your mind, no. Just giving you the example of your computers. Computer will only analyze and find something if that program is over there. If the information is in that computer, only then that computer will be able to find. If you haven't put that program, you would like to ask a question about chemistry, but there is no information about chemistry in your computer. Even if you put your computer to work hours and hours and hours, your computer will not able to answer you a single question about chemistry, because content of chemistry is not in your computers, in the hard disk of your computers, in the processor, will not be able to process until the content is in the hard disk. To yatafakkaroon, the analytical thinking is the processor, and it will only work rightly when the knowledge and content is in your hard disk. If it's not, if the Quran is not in your hard disk, if Nahjul Balagha is not in your hard disk, if Sahif al-Sajjadi is not in your hard disk, if the Sirat and the lifestyle of Imams alayhi salam is not in your hard disk, this processor would not be able to work, or work wrongly. The wrong answer will be given. If we do not have the content in a hard disk, it will give something else. And that's what's happening right now in this world. We say, Mawlana, why it is like that? Why we praise this thing? Why do this thing? Why we don't do that thing? Why can't we have friends? Why can't we eat pork? Why can't we eat, I don't know, this and that? All these things comes in our mind. We don't have answers. Yes, we have answers, but those answers do not match with the teachings of Islam, what we heard from our parents, from our teachers, Islamic school teachers. So it contradicts. Why it contradicts? Because we do not have the knowledge and content of Quran and Nahjul Balagha and Fiqh and Hadith and Tariq in our hard disk. So when our processor works, first of all, it doesn't work like that. We don't use it like that. But if we use it, it goes on other path. Because we have in our hard disk, in our brains, what we have been taught in our schools, what we have learned from our friends, what we have heard from media, what we have read from those secular books, we have all those information in our hard disk. So whenever this analytical process goes through, it gives wrong answers. You ask about Quran, it gives answer from, I don't know, some Kant, from Karl Marx, something else, because you have read those philosophers, but not read the Holy Prophet. You have not read Ali ibn Abi Talib. You have not gone through the lifestyle of Imam Hassan. If we have not gone through the life of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, so we don't get the answers. So if the process should be yatafakkaroon, analytical thinking, but to go through it, we need to get the content first. Content first. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Just one more ayah, then inshallah we will move forward. Kindly recite one more Salawat Muhammad wa Alayhi. Imam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا ظَلَمُونَ, or it's better, I recite the ayat, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ, it's a shu'ara, chapter number 26, verse number 3, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. O the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may have gone out of your way to make sure they believe. Now, over here, what? Content has been provided a lot. But if we do not go through the analytical process, we would not be able to understand. Father has said, offer praise like this. Father has said, recite Quran like that. Father has said, let's go to the majlis. Okay. After 20 years, 25 years, now I'm living alone. Who is going to tell me what to do? Who's going to decide? It's me. It's me. And I can only decide correctly If I have gone through before, through the analytical process, to understand the contents and analyze them and come to the result. It's not an easy process. I know it's not for everyone. It's It's okay. But we should be on the right path. So when some knowledge has been given by ulama, by marajain, by divine, those scholars, so we could able to understand and relate ourselves with them. Now the issue is that if they say something, we are unable to relate what they are telling us and teaching us and guiding us, because we are almost zero in our knowledge. Because if we have little content, we haven't used our analytical process of thinking. So we couldn't able to relate them. Sometimes we say, what our marajain are saying? They haven't lived in a Western world. If they have lived over here, they never have given this sort of fatwa. No, it's not like that, my dear. It's not like that. They know, it's if everything was been by living there, you haven't even lived everywhere. You learn about moon, what's happening on moon. You have studied about Mars, what's going on over there. You study about the other countries. So that means your knowledge is zero? No, it's not like that. It's not like that, my dear. Everything has been known because we are unable to relate ourselves. Kindly recite Salat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Just to giving you the tomorrow's topic to think about it and continued with that. When we go through this, the third process comes that, okay, where are the applications? What are those areas on which we should be thinking to improve ourselves and improve our society? Every society has five major components to stand on its own feet. What are those five? One of them is education. Education. Every nation needs education. Regardless, it's a formal education of school and going like that, or maybe it's informal like it wasn't used to be in past. But education in every society is an essential. Another pillar of a society is family structure, family institution. That every society need family institution. If they do not have strong family institution, they be maybe not a perfect example for any society. The third thing which every society needs, they should have economical and financial institutions. Without that, a country cannot move, a nation cannot move. The fourth thing is the judiciary system of justice. There are differences of opinions, differences among the people. They fight with each other. So there should be a system to give justice to the people. So they should be over there. And the fifth one is the administrative, managerial, or what you say, political system should be there. Even in the tribes, in the clans, there is always a senior person to manage things, to administrate things. So there are every society needs and requires these five things. And if we would like to go through and see the improvement in our own individual lives, in our societies, we should go through these five things. And these five things can improve ourselves. The education is could be the most important among these fives. Although scholars has not mentioned any one of these, some of these scholars has mentioned that if we say that which is the most important pillar, it should be education. But if we go through the Islamic point of view, we will see that education is the most important thing. Is the most important thing. That through education, we make strengthen our family systems, judiciary, economic and financial systems, and our political systems. If there is no education or poor education or wrong education, so, or because wrong education is not an actual education, so we go astray. So knowing something is very much important. Imam Hussein's mission in this advent of Karbala, we see that Imam has taught not only his followers, his lovers, and people who used to admire him, but to the entire mankind of all the eras. He have taught, if you go through the desert of Karbala, if you go through the martyrs of Karbala, you will able to learn. That's why Imam said, I have got the best of the companions, which not even my father or my grandfather had. He is the best of the companions. Tonight I would like to mention names of few companions just to praise them and remember the sacrifices given by companions. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When they settled down over there, and it was on the 6th of Muharram, when Hazrat Zainab asked his brother, oh my brother Hussein, where is Habib ibn Mazahir? Is he going to come for our help or not? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. As Imam Hussein was been reminded by Hazrat Zainab, he sent a messenger to Habib ibn Mazahir just to come for our help over here. Allahu Akbar. When the messenger reached the house of Habib ibn Mazahir, he was having his lunch. Allahu Akbar. His servant came and said, a messenger for Imam Hussein alayhi salam has come. He was having his lunch. He was having his food. He put down his food and stood up and asked, allow him to come inside. And then he asked to join for have a lunch. He said, no, this is the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He have sent his salams to you. This sentence was being said by that messenger, and Habib ibn Mazahir start crying just like a baby. The tears was flowing from his cheeks and said, my Imam has sent salam to me. Is he in so much trouble that he needs my help, that he needs to send his salam? And some of the books has been written, has been mentioned, that the messenger also convey the salam of Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha. Allahu Akbar. Immediately he stood from his food and said, asked his son and his servant, his slave, that take the horse into the fields, and when after the dark he will join them. Allahu Akbar. Habib ibn Mazahir reached Karbala. The message was been given to Imam Hussein that Habib ibn Mazahir is coming. Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein never came out for anyone out of his camp. When he came to know that Habib is coming, Imam came outside of his camp to receive him, to welcome him. And when Habib reached, Imam took him in his arms, Allahu Akbar, and thanked him and kissed him. And said, Habib, thank you for coming. Habib, thank you for coming. Now this conversation, and the voice was being reached in the ears of Hazrat Zainab. Hazrat came behind the curtain and said, Habib, accept my salam to you. Habib said, oh Zainab, is this so much trouble that you have come and giving your salam to me? I am just your slave. You say what you want and I will tender my life to you. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. On the day of Ashura, when the time came, Habib ibn Mazahir came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said, Oh Hussein, oh my sir, allow me, oh my master, and give me the permission to give my life and tender my life to you. Allahu Akbar. Imam gave his permission. Habib ibn Mazahir first sent his son, and his son was bin Matai in front of his own eyes. He sent his slave. He was bin Matayyad. And then his turn came. Habib ibn Mazahir, who was the oldest person in that little army of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he fought bravely. And then one la'in came forward, could not able to encounter Habib ibn Mazahir from front. So what they happened, the other people came and gathered around Habib ibn Mazahir. One of the la'in came from behind and struck with his sword. Habib fell on the ground of Karbala and said, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Oh my master Hussein, accept my last salam to you. The companions list doesn't finish over here, rather it's the beginning. We see another companion, Hur al-Riyahi. Who is the example given in this Karbala's Edwin is what about the Tawbah? Because it was her who brought Imam Hussein in Karbala. So he repented. He asked forgiveness from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. A night before he came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he asked Amr ibn Sa'd, why you are fighting with the son of Zahra salamullah alayha? Aren't you afraid yawm al qiyamah? Don't you afraid the day of judgment? How you are going to answer and reply in front of the holy prophet that you have killed his grandson? Don't you know that he is the only grandson? He say, yes, Hur, I know. But what I can do over here? I'm compelled to kill Hussein alayhi salam unless he gives his allegiance. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But Hur came back in his camp. He was just walking from one side to the other side. His son asked, Baba, what happened? My father, what happened? Why you are so much in what you say, Mustarab? Why you are so much disturbed? Allahu Akbar. See, he says, Hazrat Hur says that I see myself in between hell and paradise. If I remain in the army of Yazid, I may live longer, but I see the fire of hell. But on the other side, if I join the army of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, I may be amongst the shahada. But I know on the day of judgment, I be able to face the Holy Prophet and Hazrat Fatima salamullah alayha. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then he decided that he will join. What has he asked his son? He asked his son to take him just like a prisoner to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When he reached near the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he go here, he said, oh Mawla, hal yal tawba, is there a forgiveness for me? Is there any forgiveness for me? I am the person who forced you to come to Karbala. Now I want to repent. Now I want to seek forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein came forward and said, Hur, my Allah has forgiven you and I also forgiven you. Now you are among us. And when the time came, when the battle started, Hur was the first person to give his sacrifices. He gave away his son, his slave. Then he fought bravely and killed several people, and the time came that one of those people came from behind and put a hard sword on his head. And Hazrat Ehud came down from his horse on the battlefield of Karbala and said, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, oh my master, accept my salam. The compassion, one after another, they came. Zuhair ibn Qain, Muslim ibn Awsaja, the slave, Hazrat John came and sacrificed his life when he was being injured and went close to his shahada. Imam Hussein came and took his head on his lap and said, Oh John, oh you are, your blood will have the good smell, and people crossing Karbala after the martyrdom of John, they said, when we used to go cross the Karbala near the body of John, we could able to smell a fragrance over there. Fragrance were coming from John. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. One after another, Sa'id al-Sa'adi was the companion who stood in front of Hazrat Imam Hussein while he was offering his Zuhur prayers, and he was martyred at the time. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwahi allati halat bifinai alayka minni salamu allahi أبدًا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين السلام عليكم أهل بيت النبوة ومعدن الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة. اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم العظيم العز الأجل الأكرام وبدم مقتول بكربلاء. يا الله 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 الهی به حق الحسین، به حق مظلومیت حسین، ای خدا یا الله accept this little deed of ibadah from us. O Allah, forgive us and our parents and our forefathers. O Allah, give us tawfiq to be true followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. O Allah, enlighten our hearts and minds with the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. O Allah, give us in tawfiq to get the intercession and shafa'at of Quran and Ahlul Bayt on the day of judgment. O Allah, give us tawfiq to serve Islam and your creation. O Allah, help and assist all the oppressed people of the world. O Allah, save our ulama and maraji'een. O Allah, and give them health and long life. O Allah, give us tawfiq to serve Islam and Muslimin. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of Imam al-As ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, and give us tawfiq to be amongst his true followers. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة بن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل الساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توعى وتمتعه فيها طويلا. معتمد حسين، sorry for the extra time I've taken.
Y'all say. Y'all saying.